What's up, guys? Welcome to our very special EA Play Live 2020 post show. Kind of funny games cast extravaganza. Oh, I almost made that entire thing without messing up the word. Extravaganza. I tried throwing it in. Too many syllables. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the new face of video games.
Too many napkins. Blessing
at AOEA Jr.
What's up? It's me. Hello. What's up? How's it going?
We got, of course, Maximum Cortez, Andy Cortez.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, man. And joining us, fresh off of the EA Play set.
I ran right from the stage Miller. Over here. Ran right off stage over here. How you guys doing? Congratulations.
Looking good, man. The talk
me
of the
Andrew
show.
Wilson were having a beer, and then I was like, oh, shit, I got to go do the post show. Hold on.
I think it goes Skate 4 and then Greg's shirt.
Yeah,
and then definitely. Squadrons.
And then Squadrons. Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I don't know how you want to start this or where do you want to start, but I am going to be complete and utter dog shit at Star Wars Squadrons, and I can't wait. When I Hell like, yeah. I had seen all the footage and all the stuff about it, obviously, and talked to Ian about it and talked to Mitch Dyer about it and all the stuff, and it was that thing of like, I'm going to be so bad at this game. I wonder if I have to, and then you guys were all in, and I'm like, we got a fucking squad.
Oh, yeah. Just
because you can play AI like they were talking about in the video, right? So it's like, cool, we'll get five of us together, me and Kevin will be in VR like morons at home, our wives making fun of us, and we will just go out there and freaking attack the Empire.
Dude, so yeah, I mean, let's just start there because I do think that Squadrons is the thing of most consequence that we're going to get anytime soon, at
sure.
least. I was excited for it because it's Star Wars, but and seeing the trailer a couple days ago, I was like, cool, I'm interested in this. And it was kind of ended up being something that I'm all in for, where it's like, cool, a shorter campaign, it's a $40 title, like all of that I'm down for. But seeing this, I was like, oh, I'm more than excited for this. Like, I can't wait for this. And the multiplayer stuff, definitely not my thing. Never been my thing. But what they talked about the campaign made me a lot more interested than just seeing the first trailer. And I think that it's the fact that you're making two custom characters, one on each side. Like, that's such a... I can't think of another game that's done that before. And I think that that's going to be really cool to kind of allow you to really feel like you're equally on both sides and give equal weight to both sides. Because that was a big criticism I had with Battlefront 2's campaign. Is that all the marketing was, hey, you know, you're playing as the bad guys, and that wasn't true at all. So, yeah, very stoked for that.
Yeah. Oh.
Don't want to do more, Andy?
I was going to say I love 5v5 multiplayer stuff. Like, I love the idea that they are introducing these classes, and it's very much, like I said during the live thing of here's your sort of tank class, the big bomber, the big heavy hitter.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be slow as shit, but it's going to have a lot of armor and a lot of health. And then here's the, they introduced the U-Wing class, and I forgot what the Empire had, but I'm not really sure what those classes were supposed to be, because I think we were just talking over it. So apologies for that. But then the smaller, faster classes, or the damage classes like the X-Wings. I love the idea of like finding a meta and finding out which groups of classes works more, whether you go with two bombers, whether you go with three bombers and just two A-wings or something. Like, it's just, I love multiplayer games, and I'm just, and I am even more excited that they totally like are like only first person mode, no third person bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, this is only first person. We're sticking to our guns here. This is how the game's going to be played. And we got a squad right here, guys. We have a motley crew of starfighters. I'm stoked.
Yeah, like the Star Wars Squadrons, for me going into this, I was kind of trepidatious about it, because seeing the $40 price tag and hearing the leaks about like what kind of game it is and all that stuff made me go like, all right, cool. Like, it sounds cool in theory, but it seems like it might be a budget title. And seeing the actual gameplay and seeing the trailer and seeing the way they're treating it and seeing the spotlight they gave it in the conference, like, that sold me on the game. And seeing the gameplay, especially in like Andy said, seeing them kind of break down the different classes and stuff, I'm really, really, really excited to play this game. It almost strikes me as, and this is like this is a dumb way to put it, but I'm still going to put it this way, it strikes me a little bit like Overwatch in space, in a way that I'm really down for, right? Like, having the different classes, having like checking out what the meta is and seeing like, all right, cool, Tim's playing a tank, all right, cool, Greg's playing in VR, which means he's probably limited to playing whatever role he's playing, all right, cool, I'll get the support class or whatever, and being able to do all that while in space, that all seems cool. The visuals of it seem really, really beautiful from what we saw in the trailer. I'm really looking forward to it. They really sold me on the game.
They made it colorful. Yeah. It looks like No Man's Sky. Like, I love that shit. Love it.
Dude, being near Cloud City and like just seeing like the kind of like red sunset-y colors.
Yeah.
Let's go in HDR. That's going to look so dope. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I think
besides that, though, I think that the presentation of this entire thing was top tier. Like, I think that they did a really good job. Greg, obviously, you did a great job. And, you know, that
he was fine. He was okay.
I legit thought you did a really good job. I'm a little disappointed that there was no small Watto. How hard did you try to get a small Watto?
Oh, come on. You think I didn't float fucking the Watto lines in there left and right? And I made a fucking comment about Watto during that interview. They were watchdogs about it. My favorite was, and like, this is something I got told, and I don't know if I'll get in trouble for it, but who cares? When we come out of skate with the skate announcement, right? Like, and I go, oh man, my heart's up. This, and I'm like, is this what exercise feels like? The cut I originally ad-libbed was, I came out of it and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. My heart rate's up. I'm so excited. Is this what sex feels like? And da, 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 da. And we did cut and I was like, all right, on to the next one. And I did three more takes that went back to the exercise line. And they came over, they're like, can you do us three more that are just the sex line? And I was like, yeah, but there's no way you're going to use them. Like, EA's not that cool. Like, you're not going to use them. Like, they're like, no, dude, we got it. Because EA people were watching on Zoom and everything else. We should do, by the way, Game Over Greggy, next week, we should do, hey, what was it like to shoot this thing in COVID? The first thing I've done in any hosting capacity since then, because it was weird. It was cool, but it was weird. And I, from what I understand, it made it to like the 11th hour. Like the 30, they had an edit that was like ready to go. And they were like, you have to kill the sex line. I'm like, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Let's have some fun. We say fuck the Oscars twice in it. Like, we just fucking do it.
I like the presentation as well. The graphics, the transitions, everything was really cool. The art aesthetic or whatever. I feel like the lull came during the two indie titles. Well, predominantly the one that looked like a Tim Burton game. That's where we sort of saw
the one after Lost Joseph Bears.
That's where we saw. I was like, all right, and I get the concept art, but you do have gameplay, which is awesome. Let's get to that a little bit quicker. But also, no, I mean, Greg, where's Mass Effect, Greg?
Yeah, where is Mass Effect? Where is it? What happened?
Jeff Grubb saying it is still happening. It's still happening this year.
Yeah.
So. And I'm sorry. According to Jeffy Grubb. Remember, his name is Jeffy Grubb now.
I also enjoyed the presentation a lot. I think this has been the best EA play in years. And it's not the highest bar, because traditionally, I think coming out of EA play, people are usually like, oh yeah, that was kind of a drag. Oh yeah, there was a lot of sports. Oh yeah, they didn't really have much to show. And like, the biggest thing of consequence over the last couple of years for EA has been like Anthem. And even outside of Anthem, it's hard for me to even think Jedi Fallen Order. I think was another one of those.
But even then, Fallen Order wasn't during a traditional, like, it was EA play. Yeah. But it wasn't a press conference. That was more of like, we all knew it wasn't a surprise. We knew it was coming. It was like
they had announced it the year before. And when we finally did get to Jedi Fallen Order, that was like the outside EA play where Greg was interviewing everybody and all that stuff, you know, which was like a fine event. But I think overall people don't necessarily get excited for EA play because we kind of know what to expect. And I think this EA play overall for me wasn't necessarily like a, like, oh, like, They did it, like, they figured it out, they finally blew us away. But I think this EA play was the one where they figured out what works for them, and they figured out what pace they need to go when it comes to the catalog that they have, because it's a lot of sports, it's EA originals, it's the Star Wars titles, and it's their service games, which are gonna be like Apex Legends and Sims. And I think, you know, 45 minutes is kind of a it's not a long time, but it's a long enough time when you don't have that much stuff. And I think they did a fairly good job of balancing, hey, all right, let's talk about this in a way that the community wants to hear about, but also let's try and sell people a little bit on what Sims is, and let's try to sell people a little bit on what Apex Legends is. And all right, now we're going to go really hard on Star Wars Squadrons. I think they balanced that stuff out pretty well. I think they could have tightened up in some places. Like Andy said, Lost in Random was a game that, for me, looked cool, but I don't think they really needed to show the concept art. I think they could have gotten to the trailer quicker, or maybe showed the trailer first and then explained what it was.
I think you get painted into a corner there, right? Because I think when you have someone as dynamic and fun and well-known as Joseph Ferris, you want to give him that stage, but
yes,
it gets into that rule of three, right? Well, it's like, cool, we have three originals to show. We can't just have Joseph Ferris introduce his, and then the next two are trailers or whatever, right? We should probably give them, and you balance it out that way and stuff.
And I'm sure
I don't need to say for our audience at all. I mean, obviously, take what I say with a grain of salt. I hosted it. Number two, I didn't script this, or I just, you know what I mean? Like, I have plenty of thoughts about how they did things.
I heard they were going to show Dragon Age 4 stuff, and you said no.
I mean, it's just like last year. Remember, I said Skate 4. Sorry, we ran out of time. This year, I got him in. Next year, I'll get Dragon Age. It'll be fine. Don't worry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys, because I think the original stuff is super important to focus on, and I understand why they'd want to show the devs and like kind of give them personalities and all that stuff. And remember, the EA original stuff, and I'm pulling up the specifics out of my ass, but like this, there's some truth here. They don't make money off these games, right?
Like while you guys were reacting and I was watching you, I was watching Twitter, and I forget who it was, but one of our industry peers brought up the thing that, yeah, Joseph Ferris has gone on record being like, they don't make money off this. You know what I mean? And it's similar to what Peter Moore said back in the day in 2015 on our E3 stage, right? When he's like, yeah, we're doing Unraveled because Unraveled's not going to make a dime, but FIFA makes money. So we're okay to invest that forward. And I think you look at it like we're talking about with what Hazelight is working on, what Zoink is working on, and you go, yeah, these are weird, interesting, you know, I mean, Joseph Ferris, like, I love the fact they gave him that runway to talk about, you know, what his history is, if you don't know, right, of trying to get out of a terrible situation with his family, and then what that means and going to Sweden, blah, 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 but then making the game and showing that it's going to have those pangs, and it's about a divorce, and it's about these parents leaving each other. Where do you go from there? Like, yeah, exactly. I'm glad that EA does accept that role, that cool, yeah, we are the, you know, giant monolith. We do make every fucking sports game. We do make all these, you know, sequels, but we can also then invest in these little companies and little games.
Yeah. Yeah. I think them focusing as much time as they did, and especially with that, the dope ass animated intro, like that was cool, you know, and that cost money. Like that, like all of the elements there, they didn't need to do, but they did. And I think that it paid off, even if it meant the pacing was admittedly a little kind of uneven because of the breakdowns that we always complain. The rule should be for events, it's like either show a gameplay trailer, have a conversation about it, show some concept art, or it's like you need to choose like max of two of those things. Like the moment that you have like three things, you're like, all right, we get what this game is, like let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and the other interesting one before we move on from originals, right, is Rocket Arena. I'm very interested to get the story behind that, because again, it's another one that lit up on Twitter while you guys were live, the fact that so many people are like, oh, I've played Rocket Arena, and then it was that thing of like, wait, no, we played Rocket Arena at like a Nexon event. Like what the how did EA get this? What is going on with that? Like, I don't know the story behind that, but that was a game we had seen a long time ago, right, and is now here, which is interesting.
I read a thing that said it was like a Quake mod or something, which was the thing that kind of stood out to me. I was like, wait, so what is the journey with this game and how did it get here? Because it looks interesting. I think we mentioned during the watch along that it strikes me as like a Bleeding Edge type of game. And I hope it comes out, and I hope it makes waves more so than Bleeding Edge has.
It's not a Quake mod, but there was a Quake mod back in the day called Rocket Arena.
Okay, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, this is one, if memory serves, Tim, and I'm asking you to remember something I did, so I understand if you can't. I believe I played this at Judges Week.
I think so, too.
Yeah, the Hollywood Reporter, formerly the Hollywood Reporter, talked about playing it and having a lot of fun, and I remember playing it. And the whole thing, which is interesting, is there it was, first person, and now what they showed today in this re-debut is a third-person game. So it's really interesting to see what exactly is going on with this and where we're going.
Yeah, overall, I agree with you, Bless, about the presentation of all of this being kind of like the best EA has done so far. That doesn't necessarily mean that this has had the most announcements that I loved, but I think that the Apex stuff, like, that spoke to you guys, and it spoke to me in the way that, like, by the time that they made the announcements, they moved on to the next, and I didn't need to care about it, right? The EA original stuff was cool. Obviously, Star Wars is cool. Getting the announcement of Skate, that's freaking cool. Did this have a ton of surprises? No, but like, I think it was a solid showing, and it's like that to me is more than I could have asked from EA, because they've proven to me many, many times that they don't know how to do that. Andy, what were you about to say?
I think it's really cool that you got to look at it from both sides, because obviously you could say, oh, there wasn't enough shown, but then they did show this next gen sizzle reel that obviously shows some stuff from a Mass Effect game, most likely, or Dragon Age game. And other titles coming up. So it's like, do they show that or do they not? Either way, people will complain, right? But I do think we need to talk about the fact that they keep on talking about a lot of their games going to Steam and crossplay, and like, and setting that standard is so important for the rest of the industry, because it's when a company this big like EA can commit to something like that and to have all their new games coming out and saying, yes, we know you don't really love Origin. Yes, we know you want to play crossplay. We're opening up all these avenues for you all. And yes, this is going to have crossplay. Yes, you could play in VR and Squad. Like, I think it's so important for a big company like this. And, you know, obviously Activision already kind of did it with Call of Duty Warzone having crossplay at the start. But I think it sets a standard. And I hope the rest of the industry slowly starts to follow.
Yeah.
Totally. I agree.
And that was the thing about, you know, being part of it again and all this stuff. Like, I think again, yeah, this is another year of EA, I think, not having the bam blockbuster. It's not a PlayStation conference, right? It's not these giant, like, what the fuck? Like, there was the moments of it, but it was the moment I saw you guys pop for was, you know, it's going to be crossplay for Apex, right? And then a little bit for coming to Switch. Actually liking Star Wars. Once again, you know, year two in a row, I think Star Wars is the standout title, which isn't shocking, but it is awesome to see them return to form in that way, right? With this franchise where we're like, are you going to be able to keep it? I'm still not sure if the damage has been done or not in terms of the exclusivity. And then again, to get to the pop of Skate back, and Timmy, you're my favorite reaction of watching you, just you're like, this is really happening, and you just sat there like stunned the entire time.
I'm seriously shocked when I can't believe it's fucking happening.
When it ended, right, it was very much like blessing me. Yeah, I wish there would have been a trailer. And it's like, of course, yeah, I agree 100% with you. It reminds me so much of God, EA's conference,
huh?
Yeah,
it was Fallen Order.
Was it Fallen Order, the one I'm thinking of?
I think so. When Andrea sat down with
I wasn't even thinking of that one. I was thinking of one we were in the audience for, where it was the sizzle reel, similar to the end of this, where it was like a whole bunch of people were working on shit, and it was like Amy Hennig's game and all that stuff, where we saw like really rough, you know, gray box stuff from that, and it was like, all right, that's weird. Like, this is a different one in terms of like. I think they delivered a game you're excited for right now with Squadrons, which I can't believe I'm saying, because I'm not, you know, this time last year. Well, I guess Fallen Order I liked last year at this time, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not the Star Wars guy traditionally, and I'm like, fuck, I want to play this with you guys. I want to have us flying around being a bunch of morons for a night.
Fun time, hopefully.
Yeah. Dude, if we back to my point where Tim was like, you know, I'm not a multiplayer guy. I get that. You know that I'm much more, when I play multiplayer games, I prefer them to be PvE versus PvP. If it is that we just, like, Andy, I know I'll be streaming it left and right, and hopefully I'll get dragged along with him and Snowbike Mike to go, like, actually fight people and be terrible. But I'm totally down to have a squad that is just like, let's go fuck up, you know, the environment. Let's go fuck up the AI and screw on that.
That sounds fun.
I digress. It's the fact that, like, they had one game there that I think everybody looks at and goes, oh my gosh, that actually is good. I was, you know, looking through the Twitter reactions to everybody. Everybody seemed super up on it. And so to have that and then end with, yeah, Skate 4, this, we've heard you. Like, granted, they didn't say Skate 4, but I think that kind of makes sense, too. If Skate's been gone so long, why not just reboot the fucking franchise or say Skate?
Yeah. The right call, yeah.
Exactly.
And the fact that they shouted out the comments, like,
dude,
it's you all did this.
Masterful. Masterful. Scary. Yeah, yeah. I'm giving people a lot of power.
Yeah,
hey, that's what gives me power. Hey, bless me and you now. NBA Street. Let's go.
Dude, that's and listen. When they shouted out the comments, I did cringe a little bit because I was like, oh, don't egg people on to like start commenting on everything and requesting stuff. But I will be that person now, like requesting NBA Street Volume 4. Like, give it to me. Like, home court thing. Down.
Greg, you think Kind of Funny will bring back party mode since Tim killed it?
Oh God.
I mean, if enough people tweet at Tim Geddes, hashtag bring back party mode, what you did is an insult to the nation. And then say at Nick Scarpino, don't you agree? And then say at Nick underscore Scarpino, sorry, I meant you. Don't you agree? Then we'll really have it.
It's not true, guys. We're fucking with you. We're fucking.
Yeah, just tweet at Nick, everybody.
Another thing I want to point out, though, talking about like Skate and talking about how like, oh yeah, they could have had a trailer and all that stuff, and talking about previous EA conferences, when they started talking about the next gen stuff and started doing like the future looking like, oh yeah, and you know, we have Criterion and all that stuff, which kind of reminded me of when they showed off the Criterion like racing game that was teased and then disappeared, but then got into like, oh yeah, EA Motive and all that stuff. Like, that stuff to me is exciting, but at the same time kind of a bummer. Like, I wish, like, seeing the EA Motive game got me a little bit excited because I was like, oh cool, what is this? But then them kind of being like, all right cool, and then moving on from it without giving us a name or any sort of more context. Like, I understood the purpose of it because they just want to show us that they are working on next gen stuff and what the potential of next gen looks like. But at the same time, I feel like we've been burned so many times when we see stuff that is so far out that it's like, all right, why would you show me this when there's like 50% chance that this game is going to come out probably.
It's just like they did in 2016, right? It's just like they did in 2016, where it was like, hey, we are working on stuff. And this is that line we as an industry walk all the time, where I think when people make those comparisons to movies, right? When a movie gets fucking optioned, right? When a screenplay gets written and sold, there's an article about it and who's attached to it. And maybe you never, ever see that. Like, there is this struggle of, I think EA, especially in a year where up until this point, right around now, I should say, we were saying, like, what is EA doing this year? Like, what are they actually putting out? And then for them to get out there and, like, I think you do need to seed it that you're doing other things, but what do you do and how do you do it? I don't know. I thought it was interesting, too. Another tweet that happened while you guys were live Mitch Dyer, of course, who works at Motive and worked on one of the writers on Star Wars Squadrons, tweeted in all caps, "Holy shit, they showed the secret Motive game. Lol, what?" Like, I've known Mitch a long time. I don't take that as a, I'm going to put this cheeky PR thing out, or like, not even it would be PR, but I'm going to do this kind of thing. Like, that really strikes me as him, a writer at Motive, did not know whatever the fuck that weird block moving game they had was going to be shown in some way.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, with Greg, with what you're talking about with the how Hollywood works and stuff, yeah. I am a big supporter of that when it comes to the blockbusters. And I feel like if we were to have gotten a mention of Dragon Age or something that was a little bit more clear, then it'd be like, all right, cool. Now we know that they're working on these big unicorn titles, as we used to talk about them with, like, you know, The Last of Us or Death Stranding or whatever. It's like, we know they're working on it. They're way down the line, but they're coming. Whereas with this, it was kind of just like, like, does that EA Motive game turn into a big deal later? Like, I doubt it. That looks like a smaller title, you know, which is fine. But I don't know. I'm with it where I'm like, I'd rather have seen this stuff this time than not. So I'm happy they did it. But last time they did it, it was Star Wars Battlefront.
Totally. And I'm not saying you're wrong at all. I think it is that thing of, for any press conference, you know, and Tim, we've had the blessing now three times to actually make conferences, right? Like, you want that Gatling gun, keep them on their heels, here's a whole bunch of shit. And I think that this conference is the strongest EA play in a long time. I don't think it's a knockout home run amazing, mainly because of the host, but I think it is, you know, that the Apex stuff was huge, the stuff coming to Steam was huge. I think the, hey, we are doing crossplay for so many of our games is huge. I think Star Wars alone is huge, let alone the fact that, hey, this is crossplay, let alone the fact this is play in VR and play with other people on consoles who aren't in VR and do all these different things. And then to end on Skate, there's all these different pieces to it that aren't the, hey, everybody, and we know you've been waiting for it. We saw Jeffy Grubb trying to ruin it. Mass Effect Remastered. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then Dragon Age 4. Like, those are the kind of fucking punches in the face you want out of these kind of conferences. And last year, you know, at EA Play, we talked about it afterwards on the post shows and on Gamescast, right? Of like, for what they had in the chamber, it was good enough. It was fine. Here's Fallen Order. Great. That's all you need to do. But it wasn't a press conference. It wasn't an E3 press conference. Like, it didn't have that, here we are, we're fucking ready to roll.
And with that, I definitely think that, without question, this is the best EA press conference we've ever seen. That's not saying it had the best moments, but I think that overall, presentation-wise, what they did show, what they did talk about, and what they teased, I think this is the best. And if they take this format 2021, when they are more ready for the next gen stuff and they are talking about all that, debut, I think Skate, that's going to be, that's real, real cool. That's going to be a great standard. And like, I hope that that's where the industry's kind of, you know, shifting over to.
I also want to say that I feel like we say this every year, though, with like with a lot of these conferences where it's like,
not EA,
next year. No, we'll see next year. Like, really? Not even with EA? Like, I feel like every year we've gotten a slight
improvement. I feel that with EA.
And we say, man, I can't wait until next year, man. Next year is going to be the one. And it's just, we're always like these.
Just EA to me is the one that's always just like floundering, where it's just like, they've just never had a good presentation. All the other guys have at least had presentations. So when they have bummer ones, you're like, they're going to come back next year. Like that I give more on like a Bethesda. EA, I'm just kind of like, their portfolio is so wide. This is the first time they didn't spend 30 minutes talking about mobile games.
FIFA.
Huh? You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, and FIFA and all that stuff. Like, they had Madden, but like, I can't even fault them on that. That was like, what, 2 minutes? Like, I didn't even have time to pee twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job of keeping the sports stuff down. I thought they did a good job of taking The Sims and not being like, and now the fucking pets have jobs, instead of being like, hey, Sims is great because it unifies a bunch of people, and you either, even if you don't give a shit about the game, you get what we're saying right now and why this game is important.
Yeah. We'll have to see, man. So much more Naughty 3 stuff happening. The one thing that I'm really surprised at is no Mass Effect ports or trilogy or whatever it is. If that
I'm so bummed about it. Because I really thought it was happening. I really thought it was happening, and I was prepared to play Mass Effect 1 through 3.
And because even if it gets announced later this year, Blessing still won't play it.
No, I'm still not picking it up.
Because it had to get announced. I respect that. I respect that. It was the
last draw.
Yeah, Skate 4, guys. Wow. Wow. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this has been our post-show analysis to the EA Play Live 2020 show. Stay tuned right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames for way more the next couple months and forever, actually. We're never going to stop making content here. It's a great time. But until then, I love you guys. Bye.